Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. We got Wayne Primo joining the show today. Wayne, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
You know, better. We were supposed to do this last week. I had a little tummy ache, and you were nice enough to postpone the interview, and we got it in today. But yeah, I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking. Wayne Primo, most people know you as what? What do they think of when they think of Wayne Primo? Tell me. I want to know.
Keith Primo's brother.
No, isn't that annoying? Is that frustrating to you?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I think that the big thing is that maybe people don't realize that I played close to 800 games in NHL. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Over those 14 seasons, I played with seven teams. I just find that once you get moved once, then it just becomes inevitable that you get moved a second, third, fourth. I tried to look at it as one of those things that, you know, like the other team wanted you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my belief. But yeah, I mean, there's times where, you know, like you get that. But I mean, heck, he was a good player.
He was a hell of a player. But yeah, even like we talked last month at an event in Niagara Falls, or it was even St. Catharines. I was shocked you played for almost 800 games. Like, yeah. That's an incredible feat to get that type of longevity. And you were a great player, so I don't know why I was shocked, but I think people just think of, oh, Wayne Primo kind of like rode on the coattails of his older brother and just maybe, but no, like you were a hell of a player. Growing up, did you have to fight through that stigma a lot? Like, oh, like I got to make a name for myself?
Not really. I mean, as a kid growing up, I was, you know, I was always an offensive player. I was drafted to junior. I was drafted fourth overall in the OHL draft. And then in the NHL, I was drafted 17th overall in the first round to Buffalo. And I don't think that the teams took me at that pick because Keith was my brother, as we know.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's a lot of siblings that play, and there's a lot of siblings that have, you know, brothers or whatever that don't move on. So, I guess, you know, obviously you get a little bit of ribbing and stuff. I mean, I remember playing before Keith went to Philly. I think Eric Weinrich said to me, he goes, you're not as good as your brother, and my only comeback could be is neither are you. ultimately not a lot, but you know, obviously he was 5 years older than me, four and a half, you would say. So he left the house to play junior when he was, you know, he's a late birthday. So he was 15 turning 16 and I was 11 years old. So a lot of our younger days, we really didn't get to hang too much, but you know, being in the same, work, we were able to work out together in the summer and, spend a lot of time that way.
Parents involved? What was that like? Because hockey is crazy, especially, you know, the hockey hotbed of the Toronto area. You guys must have been on the move left, right, and center trying to just manage it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have two sisters also, and they both swam competitively. So, you know, going early mornings, dropping them off at the pool after school, they're in the pool again. And then Keith and I were both at practices, but my mom, you know, was the one that really wanted to get us into the game of hockey. And then once we did, she encouraged my dad to coach. So he would coach both Keith and I. He'd coach Keith for a couple of years, and then he would coach me for a couple of years, and then coach Keith for a couple of years. And so, they were definitely involved.
Should I make a stupid joke of your whole family works on water? Yours is frozen and theirs is... Is that too stupid? How big were your sisters? How big were your sisters? Because you're 6'3", Keith is 6'5".
Yeah, my one sister is 6 feet, and my other sister probably 5'9".
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a big household. That's going to be my kids growing up. I wanted to touch on, so you mentioned earlier seven teams in 14 years. I was seven teams in 8 years, 9 years. So I have you beat there, but... I was shocked, Wayne, to realize that you were traded to every one of those teams. It wasn't like UFA,
no.
The previous team didn't want to sign you. Yeah. You were traded from Buff to Tampa, Tampa to Pitt, Pitt to San Jose to Boston, Boston to Calgary, Calgary to Toronto.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? Like, honestly.
I know. I think I had two times where I had the opportunity, and the one time I didn't even know was actually we had the lockout season, and the following, like after the lockout season, I became a free agent. And I had an opportunity to sign in a couple different places for actually a little bit more money. But I loved it in San Jose. I wanted to stay in San Jose. I liked the group of guys that were there, and we had a good team. The year before before we had the lockout, we ended up losing in the conference finals to Calgary. So I loved everything about it there, and that was the year when so I ended up signing back in San Jose, and then was moved on later that year to Boston in the Joe Thornton trade.
Talk about that, because I'm a big Jumbo guy. I played with him in San Jose. And was there the one thing I wanted to know, obviously it was Marco Sturm and who was the other guy? Brad Stewart.
Brad Stewart.
What was the reaction like in Boston? Because Jumbo was loved there, right? By the
Right.
fans?
It was tough. It was definitely tough. And when we found out, so we were in Dallas and we took warm up. We came back into the dressing room after warm up, and about the 10 minute mark, I always go to the bathroom or whatever. And so I'm in there, and next thing you know, they say, "Preams, they want to see you in the coach's office." Well, we were going through a little bit of a funk. I think it was like, I don't know what it was, maybe 8 games that we hadn't won. We had lost some games in overtime. We had lost some games in a shootout or whatever. So we were grabbing points, but we weren't winning games. And then I noticed that, Sturmey and Stewart were called in as well. And I thought, they're probably, we're older, I mean, getting older, and we've, been around. So maybe they're going to say, like, we need to get things turned around. So we're sitting in there, and all of a sudden, Doug Wilson walks around the corner. So as soon as he walks in, I'm like, oh man, here we go.
This is during
And
warm-ups for the game.
this is just after warm-ups, just
Oh,
after
wow.
warm-ups. And
Okay.
he goes, we've made a trade, and we feel that we've gotten, one of the best players in the world. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I really don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
Let me tell you about who we're getting. It's great.
Like, where are we going? And then he said, "We've traded you to Boston for Joe Thornton." So I was pissed off because, like I mentioned earlier, I had options to go to other teams in free agency. And I took, not crazy amounts of less money, but less money to stay in San Jose. And next thing you know, 3 months later, I'm being moved to Boston. Now, I loved Boston in terms of, they're a great sports city. I loved playing there as a road team. And I actually enjoyed my time when I played there. But it was tough. We went into an environment that, that they've traded away their franchise player. But in the end, ultimately, I think it worked for both teams, because Boston ended up able to sign Zdeno Chara to free agency. Patrice Bergeron ended up becoming the player that I knew he was going to be. He was young, but I was like, this kid's like a star, and it gave him a bigger role. And they ended up going to the Stanley Cup Finals 3 times over, whatever it was, 13, 14 years, and they ended up winning one cup. San Jose would make it to the conference finals a lot. I think they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals once and lost to Pittsburgh. But in the end, I think it worked out for both organizations, because, as I mentioned, they both had some success.
Did it work out for you though? Because I
So
talk
I
about the reception in
yeah
Boston. You
so
didn't tell me about that.
yeah so when I got there, I mean, you could tell there was some guys that weren't happy, that were pissed off that they had traded away Joe, because, not just that he's a great player, but everybody talks about how great of a human he is, right? And just an unbelievable guy to be around. And it's funny because I'm going to Iqaluit, Nunavut, tomorrow, and he's going to be sitting next to me on the flight. So
No
we've
kidding.
met, obviously, in the past, but I've never had a chance to really, like, hang with him and shoot the shit with him. So
No kidding.
I still remember this one time. We went, my brother-in-law was in town, and he wanted to check out Cheers. So it was, I think it was Christmas Eve. So we went over to Cheers, and, had a beer or two, and I grabbed him a couple of mugs or whatever. And after I paid the bill, the bartender goes, "That was a terrible trade." And I was like, and
No.
my brother-in-law looks at me, he's like, "What are you saying?" I was like, "Nothing." And I'm just like, you know, it was stuff like that, you know, like it was tough. And I think ultimately, you know, Brad Stewart, I think out of all three of us, I think he found it the toughest.
Yeah.
And he just really, I don't think in the end wanted to be there, but he ended up going on and playing in Detroit and winning. He at least won one cup. He might've even won two cups there. So, it was tough, but you know, as it went on, that year went on, guys started to become accepting of it. And like I said, I mean, it allowed someone like Patrice Bergeron to be the guy that, you know, he ended up being in throughout his career, which was a heck of a player.
Well, cause it's rare with a trade like that, like the Bruins didn't get any draft capital back. Like to get three active roster players for one guy, it doesn't happen these days. Like it really is super rare. So you're able to compare apples to oranges. So the fans see that and they go, well, Joe's Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I mean, I don't know why that happened or whatever, but obviously the Bruins felt that was something that needed to be done and they needed to go a different direction. And as I mentioned, I think it worked out for both. I think it worked out for both.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I was interested in that because I know Joe fairly well. Like I was at his jersey retirement stuff. We're pretty good friends. So I just, it's you don't see that every day. And then I meet you and it's like, wow, crazy stuff. All right, moving on. Drafted by the Sabres.
Yep.
Obviously, I grew up right next door in St. Catharines, Ontario. So I'm a big Sabres guy. And you score your first NHL goal versus Marty Brodeur.
So they say that, but it wasn't like Marty, I can't remember. I don't know if Marty might have got pulled at some point in that game.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And Terreri came in. So that's who I ultimately scored against. But
Who cares? That guy stinks.
Yeah, we can go with
Terreri's garbage. It's so much cooler when you can say Marty Brodeur.
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah.
Talk about that because the Sabres obviously they're winning now and it's fantastic. But
I love
it's fantastic. And they're trying to get to where you were with the Sabres. I didn't realize this, but you were on that 1999 team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
And got screwed by Brett Hull and the league and all that stuff. What was that like? Because this Buffalo area is still starved for a championship. And that 99 team was the last time anybody's even come close to winning a championship in that city.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because you're 2 years into your NHL career at that point, you're still a young kid.
It was like my third year. It was an unbelievable run. When people ask, you know, like that was one of my most enjoyable times playing in the NHL. You know, you're down to two teams. Everybody's watching the last two teams in the finals. You know, the city just really rallied around you. And I remember like just even, you know, for warmups, the house was packed, you know, like how loud it got in there. But I remember that the game six, it went to triple overtime and I lost my edge a couple of times. So I was in the corridor getting my skate sharp and the media is just waiting to jump on. So as soon as that goal went in, the floodgates opened and there was no turning back. Yeah. And throughout that whole year, I mean, there was so many goals that were being called back with less amount of foot in the crease.
A skate lace in the crease. Yeah.
And unfortunately they didn't go back and they changed the rule the next year. So we ended up being the guinea pigs, unfortunately. And not saying we were going to win, but when you have Dominic Hasek in net, you have that belief and, we really did feel that if we got past game six, that game seven was ours with Dom in net.
That's what you told me that 2 months ago. I was shocked. I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, was he the best goalie you ever played with or against?
He was, he just, he unorthodox, but he did whatever it took to stop a puck. Like he would even in practice, he would say, okay, everybody line up in a horseshoe, shoot high. So guys are shooting high glove, high blocker, you know, like chest or whatever. And he's like, no, at my head. And the guys are looking at each other like, what? And so guys start like rifling slap shots at his head. Like he really didn't care. He wanted to feel the puck. He wanted to stop it. He wouldn't let you leave the ice. If you scored on him in pregame warmup, he would not let you leave the ice until he stopped you. And then I remember one time he wasn't playing and he asked Curtis Brown and myself to stay after to shoot on him. breakaways. He wanted to work on breakaways. And we honestly went 50 times each and didn't score once. No way. He was just so, so good. So I remember my brother, when he was in the Olympics, they were playing in the semifinals against the Czechs. Yeah. And I just remember saying, like when they're getting close to overtime, I'm like, just do not get it to a shootout. Do not get it to a shootout. Because he was just so good at the shootout. And next thing you know, they get the shootout and the rest is history. But yeah,
he was with them for five. What was it? Because I played with good goalies, right? Was it just his aggressiveness? Could he read a shot? Could he read the shooter? What made him?
I honestly think it was his competitive spirit. Like he just hated to be scored on, and he would do whatever it takes. Like he was the one that like basically invented the scorpion, where the guys stick their leg out and are able to. And now you see guys doing it now, or the glove when it comes over top, and like the windmill, he makes the saves like that. Like he literally just did whatever it took to stop the puck and had success. Great success.
That first trade from Buffalo to Tampa, that's got to sting, right? Because I know my first trade stung a lot because you're not used to this. You're still a relatively young kid. You think everybody's naive when they get to the show. Like, I'm going to stay this franchise forever and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that like? Because you're first rounder, Wayne.
Right. So it was kind of a more of a mutual. I honestly was surprised by it. But at the same time, I wasn't, because I had some talks with Lindy, who was a coach at the time, and other stuff. And I just didn't like my role as much. I wanted more opportunity. I found regular season, you know, I'd find myself on the fourth line more so. And then come playoff times, I found I played a lot more. He injected me with other players and stuff. And so I was caught off guard at the timing of it, but I wasn't. And I remember going to Tampa, and when I was there, I was 20, I think I was 24, maybe 24 turning 25. And I was actually one of the older guys. And I remember being in that dressing room, and they had the likes of Vinny LeCavalier, Brad Richards, Marty St. Louis came in the year I was traded. He was playing, and then he was picked up off of waivers. And I remember saying to myself, if this team can get some veteran guys, and if they can get a legit number one goaltender, I think they win the cup. And after I was moved, they picked up Dave Andrechuk, they picked up Tim Taylor, they picked up Daryl Sador, and there might be one other guy that I'm missing. And then they picked up Nikolai Habibulin in net. And again, they go on, and I wasn't surprised that they ended up winning a cup, because they had some really good players there. They just needed to add some veteran guys to that lineup to get them over the hump.
You seem to have been on a couple teams that's been the case. Obviously Tampa. Then you go to Pittsburgh right after that, and you get to play with Jágr and Lemieux, and this is before the big rush there.
Yeah. And so when I went to Pittsburgh, we ended up losing in the conference finals my first year. We lost to New Jersey, and that was the year that that Mario had come out of retirement. And I wasn't there for that game. I was traded after. I think it was at the deadline or whatever. And he I think he had like put up like 5 points against the Leafs or whatever. But I remember that playoff run, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, we got Mario who comes out of retirement. We have, on the other side, you have Ray Bourque was traded from Boston to Colorado. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a Cinderella story. You get the finals of Mario and Ray Bourque. And unfortunately, we ended up losing to Jersey. But it was pretty crazy playing with Mario, because, I mean, growing up, he was my favorite. I was boyhood idol.
How was his, well, you were there firsthand for 3 years. What was his health like? Because you hear these stories, and I've never met him, but it's like he could barely tie his skates. He was laid up on the trainer's table. Like, he was just doing everything he could to get on the ice. Is that true?
Yeah, no, when he was with me, when I was there, he wasn't, I think he was able to come back, because he was able to, you know, work out with certain people to become stronger, make his core stronger. So I don't really recall him, you know, having too many injuries when I was there. Actually, I tore my ACL my third year there. And so unfortunately I missed a lot of hockey that season. I missed 50 games. I think I played 32 games, then tore my ACL. So I had some decent injuries for sure.
Maybe this plays into a part of your career, but, and again, please don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
But a first rounder.
Yeah.
And you mentioned in Buffalo, your fourth line, third line, not getting many minutes. How did you deal with that? Because coming out of the OHL, like, you're a star player, you know, 96 points. You're one of the best players in the league. You get to Buffalo and you're not being used by Lindy. And then this league, it seems like once you're put in a spot, that's where you stay.
Yeah.
And so how tough was that going throughout your career? It's like you mentioned, you bounce around team to team, third, fourth line. Was that mentally tough?
It was tough. And I think that was the ultimate, reason at the end. I just felt that it was time to move on. Cause you get near the end of the career, then throughout the middle of the career, there's many times where I was up and down the lineup. There was times where I'd be on first line. There were times that I'd be on fourth line. And that was okay because, you're able to fit in and, you can play up and down the lineup and stuff, but it does, it becomes hard when you're sitting on the bench. I found anyways, like sitting on the bench for, and playing, 5-6 minutes. And there's times where I look back and I wonder, when I was, I played with Rochester in the American League and I'm like, I loved being up in the NHL, because that's the ultimate goal. That's where you want to be. But when you're down in the minors, you're playing all situations, right? Which helps with your development and so on. And so sometimes I look back and say, well, maybe I should have been in the American League a little bit longer, to, own my craft and keep improving. And so when you get to the next level, you're not playing on the fourth line, you're playing up the lineup, right? So.
Yeah. Did you ever have that mindset where, because you see nowadays kids, like they think they're owed everything. It's like, I'm a first rounder. You're going to play me on the first line or I'm going to bitch and moan. You don't have that personality. You just kind of went with it and was a good team player. Did you ever want to complain to Lindy or Darcy?
Oh, no. There was times that we had our battles for sure, but it wasn't, I think as a coach and you have a player that comes and asks for more, I think that's great. It shows that they care. It shows that they're not complacent, that they want to contribute more. So I'm personally okay with that. And I think Lindy was too, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily have to change his mind. He doesn't have to listen to what I say, but at least he knows where I'm at and what I feel. So I think that's important communication, right? So.
14 years, would you have done anything differently?
I look back and maybe it's one of those things where, I wonder how it would have been staying with one or two teams, instead of playing with seven. But at the same time, I got to live in some great cities. I got to play with some incredible hockey players, some of the world's best, and meet some good people inside and outside the game.
Who was the best guy? Because I was looking at all the rosters you played on. The Sabres, you guys were good, but no one player kind of took hold of that team. It was a group effort. Then you go to Tampa, like you said, up and coming. Pittsburgh, Yager, Lemieux, San Jose, some good players there. Kovalev, of course, and then Boston, and then Calgary, Jerome McGinley, those guys. Who was the most skilled, hands down?
Alexei Kovalev.
That's so funny.
Yeah, he was high end skill. I remember there's times we would be stretching in the middle of the circle after an end of practice.
Yeah.
And he would take a puck and he would sauce it from the middle of the ice on one knee and it would land on top of the net. Or you would do the horseshoe, where you receive a pass from the corner and he always was at the far, the one side, from a tough angle. And he would always receive it and shelf it in that small corner, strong side. He just really had a knack. He was so strong on the puck and his legs were huge. He was so strong.
speaking of strong, coming into the league, obviously you're going to be compared to your brother.
Yeah.
Did you, what did, were you a little nervous? Because your brother's a moose. Like, he is a fighter. He started with Probert and Kosher and those guys. Yeah. Was he was with the Bruise brothers?
No, I mean, there was, I mean, Troy Crowder tells a story there too. There one year that he was signed with Detroit as a free agent. He actually started the season. He was on one wing. Probert was on the other wing and Keith was in the middle.
Yeah.
But he said that I ended up ruining it. It was his back. He hurt his back. And so he didn't even play a game. So he was all excited about how the season was going to start. And, you know, but then he ended up getting hurt. But no, he, you know, like, he had some really good years in Detroit. He had, you know, 74 points one year and scored 30 goals and, you know.
Yeah, like, I don't care about that. He was also a tough SOB, so you're 5 years behind him. You're coming into the league.
Yeah. So,
did you get challenged or did you have to, like, what was
that?
Yeah,
there was. There was times. Like, and the crazy thing, though, is when Keith left the Ontario Hockey League after his third year, he won the scoring title.
Well,
but then he comes into the NHL and he's this guy that's 6'5", 6'6", and they expect him to fight and score every game, right? So definitely, I mean, with his size, you expect it, right? And and then being a sibling and of Keith, there was times that, you know, you had to, and again, like when I was in Buffalo, when I was playing on the fourth line, I had Rob Ray on one wing and sometimes Brad May on the other wing, or Rob Ray and Paul Cruz, or Rob Ray, like we had Matthew Barnaby and Bob Bugner, and like, so anytime we played teams, especially the Flyers, they would bring up their toughest guys from the minors, and it was for sure there was going to be a line brawl.
That explains your point totals in Buffalo, because
thanks. Yeah, I'll blame it on my line mates. Yeah,
what is there any getting the puck back when you throw it in Rob Ray's direction,
It's actually a funny story, like, and he would laugh at it too. Is I remember there was one time we were in San Jose, playing against the Sharks, and you know, we were on the bench for a good amount of time, and you know how when you're sitting on the bench and you get out for a shift, your legs are, you know, they're a little stiff, right? So we get out there, San Jose comes down and shoots, and rebound comes off the goaltender, and I pick it up and we're skating down the ice. I look one way and Razor's on the one wing, and I look the other side. I can't remember who's on the other wing. Anyways, I get the red line, I dump it in, and you know, we chase it down, and I get back to the bench, and Razor looks at me and goes, "Whew, am I glad you didn't give me the puck there?" So that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny.
It's funny, but, and I always felt bad because being on the fourth line for most guys is a demotion. And so you would see the lineups, you know, you'd walk in the locker room on a Tuesday morning, you know, getting ready for the Wednesday game or something. And you see the guy's reaction when they're on the fourth line. It's like, damn it, like on the fourth line. And I get excited because I'm like, I get to play with a skill guy.
Yeah.
It's got to stink for you because you have hands. Like, you're a good hockey player.
Right.
And to play with guys like me and Rob Ray, how do you deal with that? Do you go into the game going, and be honest, because I know Razor, he's a good dude. He wouldn't care, but it's like, okay, I got to simplify the game.
And honestly, I don't think it's as much as that is that it was, you know, because Rob was on my wing, because he was great for me. He taught me a lot in terms of, like, you know, in the game and stuff. But it was, you know, just knowing that you're on the fourth line at that time, especially. I think now, so the fourth line gets more ice, but.
Different.
But so you're just wondering how it's going to play out in terms of, you know, how many shifts you're going to get, and you know what's going to happen, where is this game going to go, you know what I mean? Like, so that was what was always on your mind. But in terms of, like, playing with Razor, I mean, that was fine. I mean, but it just it was more how many shifts you're going to get and how's the night going to go.
Yeah, and for the most part, you get like 4 or 5 minutes, and then that's all she wrote.
Yeah, that's the tough part, right? That's the tough part.
It's impossible to play that type of game and then to put up points. So for you, and I don't want to dwell on this because it is what it is, but yeah, it's hard. I don't think people realize how hard it is to just sit around and be expected to do something, whether it's fight, whether it's to forecheck, whether it's anything. It's just very difficult to do that. Imagine just like sitting on the couch for an hour, and then someone's like, go do some sprints real quick in your front yard. Like, it's so hard to, like, get up for that. So,
yeah.
Anyways, what's the highlight of your career? Then I'll let you go. We've been at this for a while, but I'm always fascinated to hear guys like, what do you take away from hockey? Because like almost 15 years pro, when you look back and it's like, man, that was it. My question to you before you give me that, was it the Calder Cup Trophy Championship? Was it the making the Stanley Cup Finals? What, like when you look back, it's like, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit. I mean, everybody asks, what was your favorite city to play in? And honestly, they all have like a special place, right? Like in your heart, because it was there was a lot of like good things for the most part. But yeah, I mean, the Calder Cup run was amazing. That you know, like it was kind of the same feeling actually when I went to Rochester, when I went to Boston, because I'm a 19-year-old who just finished my OHL career. And all of a sudden I come up to Rochester to finish the season, and you have guys there that have played all year. I've played all year. And then all of a sudden this 19-year-old kid is coming in and he's being, you know, played. So I played the last 8 games of the regular season, and I played 17 of the 19 playoff games. And, but honestly, over the time, I think that, you know, again, guys got accepting of it, and obviously when you're winning, it makes things better and stuff. So it was a great run, and we had a great group of guys. I still remember, like, we basically, like, we win the first round we won the first round 3 straight, and we'd, like, you know, get together and party for a few days, and then Torch would put us through like crazy skates to get us ready for the next round. And the next round we won in 4 straight, same thing, a couple nights out and stuff, and then get bag skated again by Torch. And then the next round we ended up winning in 5, same thing. And then the finals actually went 7 games against Portland. We ended up being the last 2 teams to play. The Stanley Cup finals was over the day before or 2 days before, and we ended up finishing it off in game 7.
I didn't realize you had Torch as a head coach. That was his first head coaching debut in the pro ranks?
So he was, yeah, head coaching, I think it was, because he was an assistant in Buffalo. When I was in Buffalo, after my 3rd year junior, myself and Curtis Brown, after our seasons were done, we ended up going up to Buffalo, traveling with the team and going on the road and getting a feel and taking warm-ups and stuff. And I'll tell you what, that being an 18-year-old and taking warm-ups in Madison Square Garden, and you're not even playing, but you're like, you're nervous. Like it's a crazy, crazy, crazy feeling. But he was the assistant coach in Buffalo. And I remember one time after practice, I went up to ride the bike, and I was reading a paper when I was riding the bike. He's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just riding the bike." He's like, "No, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just riding the bike, like looking at the paper." And he's like, "If you're gonna ride the bike, ride the bike. If you're gonna read the paper, go read the paper." So from that day on, I never rode the bike reading something. So
no kidding. Yeah, he was an intense guy. So it was, even back then, he was like laser focused in, because he was like that too. I played for him in New York, and he was just like, "If you're gonna do something, do it to the 110%. Like, you get after it at all times." Yeah. Very funny. All right, let's touch on one more thing. I'll let you go. This year's Sabres, Wayne.
Yeah,
I know you follow them.
Oh yeah.
What do you think? Do they got a chance?
Oh, I do. I hate to say it, but it's about time, because they've had so many opportunities with the draft picks that they've had, and it's just like, it's good to see, because it's a long time coming, and they got some exceptional players, and it just seems like they're getting, you know, they're playing as a team too. And like, they're just like, you know, they're not backing down from anybody. Like they're, you know, there's scrums, they're all in. Like, it's like old time Sabre hockey.
Well, last night, Braden McNabb buries that Benson kid. And I know it's a little thing and people compare it to Toronto, but it's true.
Yeah.
Like what would have happened? Let me pose this to you. Back in your day, if someone would have laid out Michael Pekka, what would the reaction be like on the bench for you guys?
Oh, everybody would have been all in.
Everybody.
Because, I mean, when you had guys like Razor and, like, I mean, even Pex, though. Like, Pex was, like, he could, for a smaller guy, he could run over guys and hold his own. But honestly, like, it was a pack mentality. Like, if there was something that went on the ice, everybody was in.
Yeah, and Lindy
has them doing that now, which is great to see.
It's a beautiful thing to see. And it's I'll let you go now because it's been a beautiful time to talk to you. You got to get going, get ready for your flight. How long a flight is that to Nunavut?
So we go from Toronto to Ottawa and then at Ottawa to Nunavut. But I'm not sure what it is. Maybe 2 or 3 hours straight up.
What are you doing up there with Jumbo?
Hockey helps the homeless, and Leafs. There's 11 Leafs alumni, and then 11 NHL alumni, and then doing like some like clinics and stuff, and then also playing like a game charity.
Tell you what, the one good thing about playing with all these teams, and I can attest to this, your alumni branch is huge. Yeah. So you get all these opportunities. Like, oh, yeah, Montreal Canadiens. I played one game with the Canadiens. Yeah, I'm an alum. Yeah. Get me to the events. I'm actually going up to the Northwest Territories this weekend.
That's awesome. How long are you there for? Till Sunday?
So we're leaving Sunday night.
That's got to be further.
It's got to be. Yeah. It's way, way. Like, we go from Toronto to Calgary, Calgary to Yellowknife, Yellowknife up to Northwest Territories. So it's nuts. We're going to do it.
That'll be amazing, though.
They said the first recorded hockey game was played there 200 years ago.
Really?
They're doing a big, Tom Cochrane's coming.
Cool.
No big deal. The prime minister is going, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Going to have a chat with him. Do you want me to talk to him? You want me to tell him anything? Lower taxes, Wayne? Anything?
Yeah.
Whatever you need me to do. All right, buddy. I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure I'll see you around the way. You look great. Sounds like life's going well. So thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Wayne Primo, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later. Cheers.